Okey-doke, 10 minutes past 11. I accidentally fired the quarter past 11 ad break, but don't tell the boss. So we're uninterrupted till half past. Okay, we have in studio with us Katie McGee. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning to you.
And we also have Fionnuala Rabbit back with us again, of course. Fionnuala, thank you so very much indeed.
Oh, good. Good to be back.
Because the other jock, Michael, must be doing something. He can't make it.
I don't know. And did he get a life and didn't tell us about it? Yeah. I'm kind of annoyed.
No, that's not allowed. You're not allowed to get a life.
Madness.
You're kind of, we're in a little bit, we were talking off air in a same position as me in that you watched a lot of the snooker over the 13 days.
I know. Well, to be honest, I watched none of it over the 14 days. It was like
the last
kind of 2 days. Every time I turned around, it was on. So, and then I watched the final, which was more exciting than I thought because somebody was explaining the rules to me as we went along. It was very good. I did watch the Welsh guy to win, though, because it's the Welsh accent. I like it. Then the crying and the kids afterwards. It was emotional.
You like that?
Yes.
Good. I love it.
Well, I just thought, you know, the way years ago, because obviously the only people that I recognised in it were all the people that were doing the presenting and the,
the
commentating
old school guys,
afterwards was all the guys with the big glasses and the Steve, whatever his name
Andrew,
was.
Andrew, is it?
Yeah, Stephen Andrew, yeah. Dennis yeah. Taylor, John yeah. Parrott.
They're the guys you see all there doing the, you know, doing the chatting now because they're, I suppose, on the senior. Is there a senior dart circuit? Or
there is a senior snooker circuit. Yeah, Karen Wilson won out in the end. Obviously, lovely family man too as well. I didn't mind who won that game, actually. I didn't, you know, there's a nice story behind either of them. Karen Wilson was in a final during lockdown when there was no audience. He lost that, right? So it's nice that he got his moment.
Well, he lost two or something, they were saying in the thing. Well,
right,
he'd
I don't
been
know.
In two. Yeah,
I know he was definitely one of the lockdown finals, but anyway, he won out in the end.
No, it was lovely, and he meant he had his family out and he the whole thing, and it was, I mean, in fairness, they were all
his
crying.
Wee son and his wee
they were adorable, yeah. And the little fella saying how he still wasn't his favourite player.
That's right, yeah, Ronaldo. Ronaldo was his favourite player. Yeah, no, so I was in the same boat. I watched quite a bit of it where I could. I'm sorry to say Baby Reindeer, right? Have to. Because it's all over Netflix. The Real Martha last night was on with Pierce Morgan. Pierce Uncensored.
Couldn't.
Did you watch it?
I saw a moment of it this morning.
You have to watch it all. It's all on YouTube.
Yeah.
When we Highland Radio go off air, we never go off air. All right, well, let's see. Do it through David's show. Joke. 50 minutes of the woman who claims to be not Martha, but as the interview wears on, becomes Martha. It's remarkable. I don't know what she was hoping to achieve through that interview, but if you enjoyed Baby Reindeer and you want to meet the real Martha, who claims that it's all a setup, she never did anything that was claimed in the documentary. You really need to watch. And I thought Pierce did a good job in it. I don't watch. I know he's a bit divisive character. I don't really watch enough of him to know.
But I don't.
Anyway.
I just wasn't sure whether it was. To be honest, the reason why I didn't watch it was because. Is it right?
Exploitative?
Yes.
No,
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, and I haven't watched it. It was more just my thinking. I mean, obviously, you know, this woman did a terrible thing to that man, but she's obviously ill.
Yes,
but she says she didn't do it. Well, you see, I get where you're coming from, but if someone says, right, it's not true, I'm of perfectly sound mind and my voice needs to be heard, editorially,
well, I suppose.
It's hard to sort of go, well, we believe actually that you aren't in 100%. You know what I mean? Yes. So there's no...
But, she was arrested for it, though, and charged.
Well, she wasn't, you see, she says. She wasn't.
Oh, I thought
but
she
also,
was.
But also, it's just really interesting to watch it unravel. She says she never, it's 41,000 emails. She says, I never sent 41,000 emails. But if I did, I didn't do the serious stuff. And he's like, well, why are you clarifying? Yeah. She says, oh, no, I didn't do it. She says, I've got a photographic memory. What qualification did you get at the bar? Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
She claimed that she didn't know that the comedian had been sexually assaulted. She says, I only heard about this when I opened up BBC Breaking News. She mentions BBC Breaking News an awful lot. And then she says, well, I did send one letter back 10 or 12 years ago. And why was that? She says, well, I wanted to just offer support because I heard that he had been the victim of a sexual assault.
She
turns out she's got 6 email addresses, which she believes is perfectly normal, and 4 phones. And because she likes to keep contact with the electricity company separate from friends and friends Friends, separate from Friends. So she thinks lots of people have six email addresses.
I can sort of see where Fionnuala's coming from, though. I mean, Piers Morgan is like your reality TV gold. He knows what he's going for. He's very clever in that way. What's hot at the moment and whatnot. And I don't really think, regardless of editorially what was right in that way, I don't think he really had any concern for her mental well-being and what that was going to do in terms of what way she was going to carry herself in that interview.
Or going forward after.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for me as well, I was listening to a podcast, I don't know if you ever listened to the Indo Daily, you know, they do, and just when I was driving around the last few weeks, and they had an interview with an Irish reporter who ended up in a similar situation, and it went on for 10 years, in which the particular individual that was stalking him, he moved from Dublin. He was in Dublin, and this is where he met this woman casually. And they went for, I think they went on two dates or whatever. And then all of a sudden she developed this relationship with him that he says never happened. But he moved, and because she was like showing up outside his work and showing up at his house and showing up everywhere. And 6 months after he moved, there was a knock on the sitting room window. And when he opened the blind, she was outside.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Moved to England. She arrived in England. Like, I mean, listening to this man talk about the 10 years and the damage that it did to his life and his relationships. She threatened his family. She threatened colleagues.
But you see, what's different about the Baby Reindeer show is that the comedian in question, his name, Richard, isn't it? Richard Gann. He admits, like, he's as flawed a character. And he admits within it, effectively, that he missed her, that he encouraged her, that he... You know
yes,
what I mean?
He was in a low point in his life. Yeah. Well, I thought that was interesting.
Or he's an incredibly exploitative, manipulative, attention-seeking person.
Well,
one of the two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing about editorially, if she says I want to come on and speak on the 9 till noon show, she got 250 quid for this. We probably could have got 400 together if we got this interview. I think even I could have got that out of you, Fionnuala. But editorially, if you think about it, would you have done it? I mean, the person claims that, in fact, he is the person that has the issues. And then she's asked about the 350 voicemails, and she says, well, if they are there, I was probably recorded in the pub. It is actually, it's very fascinating in how it connects the real story to the drama.
Yeah.
I felt a wee bit sorry for her at times, but that being said, I would struggle with an editorial decision as to whether she has a right to speak, because everybody knows her. She's been... slammed off all over the place, trying to find her. She was found instantly. They claimed to protect her. They wanted to protect her, right? But they used exact quotes of tweets.
Yeah.
As soon as that aired, people typed in the tweet, hit return, and her tweet and accounts came up instantly. So there was no effort, meaningful effort.
Oh
to
no!
Actually,
I mean, even if all you had to do was just put it in, and the actual case came up.
Yeah.
And you could see photographs of the woman. You know, there was photographs on, because I know I didn't even go that much different. I literally put it in going, oh, is this a true story? And you kind of stick in, and obviously it comes up then, Baby Reindeer, true story. And there's photographs of the woman in question and photographs of him. Yeah, I know, it's a difficult one to go. You just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, fans of Baby Reindeer, it's just going to be like the sequel.
Oh, they're definitely going to be watching,
But I also get the concerns about exploitation, but I also understand that if people feel that they've been wronged and they want to have a voice, like Piers Morgan didn't try and trip her up. I thought he was quite fair in his questioning. As I say, I don't know much about the guy other than what you might read. I don't watch much of his stuff. It was herself who probably made a mess of it. You know,
yeah.
I think he was relatively reasonably fair.
This will be the next Netflix program, like the Prince Andrew thing.
Oh, go on and on and on. Right, if you watch that, if you have any interest in that, please let us know. 086 60 25,000 or 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp or text. You can give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Now, Fionnuala says because she had things to do, the snooker was on, she didn't really get to watch much TV, and that was reflected in the list, which includes 15 items.
If this is a barren patch.
That kind of sounded like, you know, something you might see in a school report.
But I know you've dug deep into the archives for some of this.
Some of these are here, yeah, that I've been watching for a while.
Right, let me see. Oh, The Regime, Kate Winslet jumps out at me. That's on Sky. What's this about? Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it.
It's been on for the last few weeks now. Okay. So it's an hour-long show. It's done with Kate Winslet. It's her new thing that she came out. Do you remember we watched her in The Mayor of Easton and that kind of thing? She's been doing a couple of Sky shows.
She's a bit more glam in this, I think.
She's moved into this. To be honest, she is and she isn't. Because basically what she's playing in this is like a little bit of a kind of a like a Putin-esque type of a character.
Okay.
So she is the leader of a country which is kind of suggested that it's a bit Middle East, Eastern European, but nothing kind of about it. Lives in this massive big castle kind of thing. Seems to have inherited it from the father. So she's got the father lying in state with his body. What do you call it when they...
Reposing them?
Yeah, no, you know the way they put the stuff in order to so that the body doesn't decay.
Embalmment?
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh my God, my head is an ornament.
It's fine, go ahead.
So he has the body in state, but the body is decaying all the time, and as it's decaying, she's losing her mind. So it really is about how she kind of spirals down into this suddenly dictatorship. She's supposed to be this nice, genial. Then this one guy gets a hold of her who is like her bodyguard and security guard, and it just really goes into sheer lunacy and about how she takes over and she wants to take over America and throws America out of the country and all this kind of thing. So it's actually what's entertaining about it is there's some amazing other actors in it. And they just show up kind of doing cameos and different things like that. And they're really good in it. Her, I don't know. She's like talking out the side of her mouth and all this kind of thing. It's like as if she's trying to be a little bit... you just find her a bit mentally unstable, which is kind of the character in it. But she portrays
it in
a certain
way. But it's annoying in how she's trying to do it.
Yeah, it's getting very mixed reviews now, I have to say. And it is nearly finished. And you can watch the whole lot. It was on week by week, but you could watch the whole lot on Sky, as you always can. So I kind of got about halfway through it, and then I was like, oh, this is a lot. I just, there was more things I could be doing with my time, and I didn't actually manage to finish it.
Wow,
I keep saying
proper order.
Every week I keep saying I'm going to go back to it, and then I don't manage to get back to it.
I had the similar thing with a program on Apple TV about the murder of Abraham Lincoln.
And
I watched an episode and a half of it, and I was like, it's okay, but I might go outside.
Yeah. I saw that one, and there's good. There's some good actors in it, and that
there
kind
is,
of thing.
But there's no fingerprints. There's no DNA.
The investigation is a little bit, but there's a whole big thing in it, isn't it? Because they didn't when the guy killed him, Abraham Lincoln, wasn't there a load of people that ended up getting hung?
There was a conspiracy and stuff. Now I will probably return to it. I may have fell asleep during one of the episodes, and that's a problem in finding where I left off, but.
It's also not a great advertisement for it either.
Yeah, well, it's not a great advertisement for my energy levels mid-afternoon.
What's the name of the man that's in it again?
The name of the actor
in it again. Michael Douglas, isn't he in it?
Oh, he wasn't in it when I watched it.
Oh, I thought he's the prosecutor in it.
Right, I didn't get that far. I'm at the point whereby they're sort of unraveling the parties to this series of events. But anyway, no, I shall watch it. A caller says, I watched Baby Reindeer this week. I swear, I'm sorry I did. It's a weird show. It's one of those things that you can't unsee once you've seen it. I don't know how, I don't know if it's true or not. What facts, what's fiction? Well, the lines are blurred, aren't they? I mean, Richard Gadd is the lead actor in it. He is the actor that claims he was stalked. And he says it's representative of what happened, but he's made an awful lot of money off the back of this, and he wasn't terribly successful, which the real Martha Fiona points out that he tried to come on to her, but she says no. He had a green spot in his face. No, I didn't.
Oh yeah,
watch
it. I think that was part of what I saw.
It's really quite interesting. So The Regime is not going to get finished, Fionnuala.
Well, I'm gone so far into it now and not finished it. I fear I'm not going to go back, which is very disappointing. Because in fairness, as I said, there's some stellar cast in it. It was just the whole kind of story just didn't grab me. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. So if you watch The Regime to its conclusion and you think that...
I should go back.
You think Fionnuala should go back. She is actually quite easily persuaded. If you go back to her the second time, the first time she'd go, I'm not going back to that. And then the second time she'd go, all right, I will. That's how you do it. Right. The idea of you on Prime... Katie.
Okay, now this may not be as quite intelligent viewing as what you're discussing so far, but it is really good for, I just really enjoyed it.
You sound like you're embarrassed to talk about something that's not highbrow.
In fairness, have you seen all the trash I watch?
This one's favourite show is Cutting a Cake. Is it real or is it a cake?
Oh my God, I was watching that as well.
Have you ever listened, have you ever listened to this programme?
It's on Series 5. I think it's on Series 5 now.
Don't apologise if you're watching.
No, it's okay. Right. No, I actually think Fionnuala would really enjoy this, right?
Oh,
because
boom.
It's
the idea of you on Prime.
On Prime, yes. It stars Anne Hathaway and a kind of upcoming actor called Nicholas Galitzine, he's got a very unusual surname. It's hard to pronounce. But he is...
I love how you blame him for his name.
I know, yeah. It's totally his fault that I can't say it. Never is. So this is really realistic and could happen any one of us. I'm just saying that, right? This 24-year-old millionaire pop star meets this 40-year-old mother by chance they fall in love.
Every day. Right. Every day I have to say, no, you're too young.
You're too young.
I don't want to be past remarkative, but she's a very fresh 40-year-old.
In fairness.
Implication being.
She could be 24. No, she could be 24.
Like. It could happen any of us,
yeah,
Greg.
Of course, yeah.
But he's this like stunning, you know, sort of everyone has this idea of him that he's just this pop star, but he's got so many more levels to him. And she sees the levels because she's so normal and all this kind of thing. And I just really enjoyed it. It was kind of a romantic movie that of its sort I haven't seen in a long time, you know, so it was kind of nice to watch. It's kind of borderline Hallmark, but with a bit more... slightly, and I mean slightly, better acting. But it was really.
Are you
really
saying
enjoyable.
That his tight white vest and leather cardigan is doing all of the heavy lifting?
Had nothing to do with it. I just really enjoyed the acting. No, but it's really, really good. And like that, it's something you kind of watch and then you go come to the end of it and you really miss the male character because you're like, oh, I really miss him.
So it's a film.
Yes, it's a film. And like I say, Anne Hathaway. And I'm normally not a huge fan of Anne Hathaway. I don't know what it is about her, but she kind of irritates me. Mm. But I liked her in this, so I did. Yeah.
And it's just a good old-fashioned
romance, exactly. Yeah.
And if
Battle
this
wine.
Were
Battle of Wine,
and dare I say, I don't want to be controversial. What age is the protagonist, the man in this?
24.
So if this were a 40-year-old fellow and a 24-year-old girl, it would be perfectly fine. You wouldn't be icky at all, no?
I think there's a fair few of those around already.
Is there?
In fairness. Okay.
Just look at Leonardo DiCaprio's rap sheet. And
Michael Douglas earlier.
You don't get past 23 with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, we've been inviting you to predict the score for Donegal's game with Armagh, and we're going to get together a goodie bag for whoever is correct or on the money. Or nearest. Marie on Facebook, Donegal 113, Armagh 15 points, a narrow 1-point victory for Donegal. Marie's predicting. Kathleen is back with an actual score. Donegal 19, Armagh 9 points. Anton, Donegal 118, Armagh 18 points. High scoring game. Yeah, 3-16 to Armagh, 2-14 to Donegal. I think the Armagh are a better team. That comes in from Patrick. Donegal 112, Armagh 14. Mary Jo thinks it'll be a narrow 1-point victory for Donegal. And another, Donegal 113. A lot of people think Donegal are going to score 113. Donegal 113, Armagh 14 points. That's Jerry in Buncrana. Okay, we're keeping a note of all of those. Keep them coming on our socials, or indeed keep them coming on our socials or text them in. And one of you will win something on Monday. Hi, Greg. Jimmy's winning matches, so Donegal to win. Come on, the boys. Any word on our Cairn Donoghue O'Donnell? I know off injured. Not sure. We'll get back to that. The team that's mentioned for Armagh, the named, is as was bar a change of goalie. I have a question. Why was there no tickets available for fans to the Donegal game? People have supported Donegal through and through, but yet the GEA have kicked the fans in the teeth. It's disgraceful what they've done. Well, the tickets were allocated through GEA clubs, and there was an oversubscription. More people, members of GEA clubs, wanted tickets than were available. Some might argue they are the people supporting, because you have to be a member of the club, they are the people supporting the grassroots of GEA. And I think at least some clubs, if you attended league games and the first two games of the Ulster Championship, you were given preferential treatment for the final. As I say, that varies from club to club. There simply was no tickets left after they all went to clubs to be made available to the general public. Right, more from Katie and Fionnuala coming up after these messages. Okay, Fionnuala, what should we talk about next from your list? Because we've done a mwah one, so maybe enjoyed.
Well, God, it's so hard. I'm not really enjoying anything at the moment. But I just started watching Bodkin, which just landed on Netflix. It landed, I think it was yesterday.
Okay.
I was really looking forward to it because Will Forte's in it, and there's a few other really good character actors that you'd know from other things that you've seen. And basically what it is about is a podcast. You know, we've seen these in other things where they've gone to other countries and they're developing a podcast, and they kind of go to a place,
yeah,
and they're trying to do the podcast and find out about a mystery. This is actually set in Ireland. So they've come to Ireland in order to work out about this mystery. So I just started watching it. There's 7 episodes. They're all about like 54 minutes or so long.
Okay.
It's based on a small town. They mentioned Skibbereen, so it's in the Cork region, but not specific, you know yourself. And apparently 20 years ago, 3 people went missing at Samhain. And they have a big sound festival, and now they haven't had the sound festival since, and now they're rejuvenating. And these 3 people show up in order to do a podcast. An American, which is obviously Will Forte. Then there's a young girl who was grew up in Dublin, and she's been an investigative journalist in London. And then there's a younger girl, and she's the producer of it. They all have like kind of hidden background stories that you're kind of unfolding as you're watching it. And it's really just about this mystery, about what happened, and trying to get the people to talk to them.
Yeah, and they do claim it's based on a true story with an asterisk, and the asterisk is overheard in a pub.
Yeah.
So is it a comedy?
It's not a comedy as such, but it is, there is some comedic things in it.
Right.
My issue with it is not, the story is actually quite interesting, and you do get drawn into the characters because there's a lot of, like, you know, people, a lot of backstory and that kind of thing. They kind of drop hints, you know, as to what's going on. Like the investigative journalist is under investigation herself, but you're not really sure of 100% what's going on with him, because it just slowly unravels through it. Will Forte's character had a big podcast that was very popular, and it was about marriage and all this kind of thing. But you kind of get the hint there's something going on there with his marriage that not all is not well. So it's very unfolding. And then there's this whole village. The only issue that I have with it is it kind of leans in a little bit to the Irish tropes.
Which has always been an issue. The Arabagara.
It's a small bit now. You know, like they're walking down the road and Pat Short happens to be sitting in the middle of the field looking at his lonely cow. You know, that kind of way.
And you walk into a bar and everyone looks like they're just out of the...
The first night they're there, they're all drinking, and there's a guy playing a fiddle in the corner. They go to visit the guard to talk to him about the investigation, and he's, you know, you'll have a little dropping in your tea. Yeah, yeah. There's a small bit. You kind of know that there was an American bent to, you know, the way.
Yeah.
It has that sort of a feel to it. But
pandering to the cliches a bit.
There's a small bit there. Well, so far there's a decent sized chunk of it that's a bit pandering. But I do think the story will hold its own in the end, and you can kind of get over that part of it. Because there's a lot of stuff that seems, you know, like as in there's a lot of depth into the characters that we're trying to find out what's going on. And I'm hoping that eventually some of the Irish characters will show a small bit of depth too, because it's a little bit begonch and begotta. But stick with it. I'm halfway through it now, and I have to say I am enjoying it, because I do sort of go, I'm not really 100% sure what's going on here, and there's definitely more to unwrap.
So it's a mystery.
With each, as well as the mystery, what's going on with each of the characters is kind of a mystery as well, the backstory. So it is interesting, and I think if you do start it, stay with it. As I said, there's 7 episodes, they're just under an hour each, and and there's people showing up all over the place. Fionnuala Flanagan shows up as, shockingly, out of character for her, an Irish nun.
Okay.
A and the nuns are like, you know, living on an island, being nunnish and yet having a yoga retreat in the, out the back, like, you know, that kind of. You definitely can tell there was an American hand on the tiller somewhere in the making of this, okay. As in they were thinking, what'll they want in America?
But Bodkin on Netflix, halfway through, and this one you're going to stick it out. Have definitely. You watched Bodkin again? 086 60 25,000 marks out of 10 so far.
Oh, I'm giving it a strong, even though it, you know, the Bagara thing, it gets a bit annoying, but yeah. I am giving it a strong.
But that's kind of
seven.
Almost specific to you, not, you know what I mean?
Well, it's it is one of my things. Yeah, I have to say, it is one of my things. Right?
But it would be one of mine as well. I don't think I would,
it's set in today, but it's just very kind of like, you know, the cracked landlady, you know, the guard having a jar, that kind of a thing. It's very.
He's slagging me.
Hey,
career, did you see?
I don't even hear it anymore.
Did you see the portal down in Dublin to New York?
Oh.
Who thought that one?
They were all waving at each other, nobody knowing who they're waving at.
But no, they're also being removed from Gardaí by Gardaí already.
Well, I would imagine. Like your first instinct is rude, and I'm an old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
If my first instinct is to go rude, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, moon. right, okay.
Well, young people are doing.
I just wonder how long it's supposed to be there for, and will it last its full term? the Gardaí having to police a portal to New York, it's crazy, but that's where we're at.
I love the idea of it, though. It's very Star Trek-y.
I like it. Yeah, I mean,
you
the notion
like
is brilliant.
Step through it.
But
yeah.
I think it places too much trust in people.
Which, in fairness, I've proven. unworthy of trust.
Congratulations to Barclay and Joe, who were on the show earlier on their novel, and Finn Harps for their third jersey in conjunction with the Bluestack Foundation Donegal. Finn Harps are more than just a club and care for their people indeed, and the lovely association going on there between Finn Harps and the Bluestack Foundation. Right, let us see. Green Book on Netflix.
Yeah,
is this a film?
Yes, it is a film. And it's a really good film. Mm. It's a really nice, easy watch, but it has a bit of depth to it this time. So, that's probably my only deep one on the list. But anyway,
that's good.
It is has a wee bit of depth to it. So, Viggo Mortensen, who is in Lord of the Rings and a few older ones, Daylight and Crimson Tide. He's definitely a very, very recognisable actor. He stars in this as it's based in the 1960s. So he stars in this as kind of a, you know, an Italian-American, very much white guy, I'll say, right? And in around a time when racism was alive and well in America. And he is employed to drive a black classical musician around the Deep South, where he requested that he wanted to play all these different venues around the Deep South. So he's his driver, and it's basically about the relationship that they form throughout their journey or the couple of months that they spend together. So it's a lovely film in that it doesn't go too dark with the racism and that kind of thing. It's more about their relationship and each character and their differences and how they come together and make each other grow, I suppose, and that kind of thing. But it is a lovely
film.
It's
a buddy film, isn't it, really?
It is. And it is a true story, yeah. And it's not overly long either. I think it's only about an hour and a half or something like
that. I've seen I don't know what on what platform, it must have been Netflix, but I've seen this recommended a million times and never clicked into it.
Yeah. Michael mentioned it once or twice
maybe that's
over
why.
The last few months.
Michael and I were actually talking about this movie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And completely different thing. We were coming back from the cinema after watching something else.
Yeah.
And this came up, and we ended up spending 20 minutes talking about it because it's one of those movies that you will, and people take different views on.
Yes.
At the time, it was up for an Oscar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was highly, highly.
But there was talk now when they look back, is it white savior? Is it not white? I didn't get that from it when I watched
it. No, I definitely didn't think so.
Yeah, but the days where whatever it is,
each other.
Something you just sit there and you look at it and you interpret it the way you want to and then keep your mouth shut. Those days are over now. People are predisposed to be offended.
Yes.
To be shocked, to be scared. And unfortunately, it's creeped into the world of entertainment as well now. So I would just watch it and get rid of the noise.
Yeah.
If something was particularly exploitative or something, I get that. But if it's an interpretation...
Yeah, and it's not exploitative in any way because they kind of... They mute the you know specific instances of racism along the way, so it's not really about that. It's set in a time where that's in the background, and it's very much a prerequisite with when they meet each other, and then it's how all of that kind of gets pushed aside,
also their
and
story.
It becomes about the individuals.
You know, it's their story, and
Absolutely.
Both of them are entitled to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought to me when I watched it, I thought it was about the growth of both characters.
And definitely.
One being like he, you know, Viggo Mortensen plays an Italian American. So he does come with certain preconceptions of what this black man would be like.
Yes.
And their relationship is quite fraught in the beginning.
Yeah.
Then you have the I forgot an actor now. The pianist is there. The black man's being driven around. And
he was in the Julia Roberts film recently. He's very good.
He's very good.
He's very good
in it. I don't know.
So commanding on the.
But he,
I can't get his name in my head.
I know, and I'm useless. You know me. But he also is unstereotypical. What you know what I mean? What you would imagine a person of color at that time in that period or whatever. And
then,
it's about him.
Was he seen as a
his.
Sellout at that time? Was that talked about in the film at all? Do you know what I mean?
I think there's a small bit of whether or not he's
you know,
become
that Uncle Tom phrase that's thrown around.
Yeah, there's a small bit of that in it. I think a small bit of it, but he's very cultured and he's very.
Yeah, I don't remember much of that myself from watching it, mind you. But I just I thought you know it really showed. First of all, from the very start, his choice to go and perform in these places.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a, you know, something he wanted to do for, I don't know whether it was proving a point or something.
Well, why shouldn't he tour the South playing
exactly,
his music?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And then you're looking at like him being accepted in some context.
Right, okay.
And admired. Mm-hmm. And then also... shunned in other manners
there's a bit of intrigue there now.
Yeah.
I do find what you're saying interesting. Okay. Out of 10?
Oh, 9.
Solid 9.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maria is in Drumnahoe in Letterkenny. She thinks the result on Sunday will be Donegal 2-12, Armagh 13 points. I like the way you're thinking, Maria. Colette believes the game will finish 1-15, 14 points to Donegal. Gwan Donegal, says Colette. Anne is in Lifford. She thinks the result will be 18 points to Armagh, 13 points to Donegal. But listen, you know what, Anne, I was going to say get out of that, but if you're looking to win our wee prize, I suppose, you know, it is possible Armagh could win. Hi, Greg. Jimmy's winning matches, Donegal all the way from Audrey, so doesn't specify a score, but you know what? That's okay too. If you want to enter our score predictor competition, feel free to WhatsApp and text to 086 60 25000. What do you think the specific score on Sunday may be?
Everyone seems to think it's going to be a good match because they all seem to be so close and high scoring. That definitely seems like a match worth
watching. It is. If it's a tactical, low-scoring game, I enjoy them too. You know, I don't really need to see a whole load of scoring. I mean, sometimes the left and right play can be a bit annoying. But anyway. Right, OK, it is the 9 till noon show. We're heading towards to the last portion of the programme. So we'll take a quick break, come back with the weather and more from Katie and Fionnuala. 086 60 25000, that is the WhatsApp and text number. We're also engaging with you on our socials, of course. Let's get to some of your predictions. Breed says she believes the result will be 1-10 to 12 points in favour of Donegal. Cahill Bennett on Facebook, Donegal to win by 5. Seamus believes Donegal by 3. Fingers crossed, he says. Mary Maguire, Donegal 15 points, Armagh 14 points. Another tight one there. Geraldine McGonagall, Donegal 1-11, Armagh 1-9. Martina Coyle is of the view that it will finish Donegal 2-4, Armagh 2-10. And someone, Seamus, thought that was so funny, he put down a smiley face. Patrick believes Donegal to win on penalties. Damien, Donegal 115, Armagh 114. Cahill, 6 points each. I think I mentioned that one, right? So the more recent are to the top. Donegal 15 points, Armagh 14 points. That comes in from Bridget, and on it goes. Don't forget to get involved in that. Right, let us go to a drama, Whitstable Pearl. Gretcha Sacchi. I haven't heard a lot about her in a long time. She used to be, and perhaps still is, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Young lads would have been very fond of her.
Very fond of her.
I don't know how to phrase it.
I mean, before we go on, I need to say that actor, the other actor that's in that Green Book is Mashara Ali. That's who he is.
He's been in a couple of good things.
Oh, he's very good. He really is very good. No, what I just put down these two things was because people may not be watching and it may not be on their radar, because I know I've been showing it to some relatives of mine along the way when they keep saying, well, there's nothing on TV, particularly older people. And if you're like me, you like all these kind of like little mystery things that are on. Drama is one of those channels that's a bit far out. So it's like on the Sky, it's 164, 165, something like that on it.
Yes.
So often you get people that kind of only go as far as like, you know, 1, 2 and 3. But this is just broaden yourself a small bit and you'll actually find some really good stuff on the drama channel. And also it's a lot of stuff that they do have some new stuff that they do, but a lot of older things that you might have enjoyed.
I think it's on Freeview.
It's on all of the box.
Yeah.
No, it's on all of the channels as well. I just happen to have Sky. That's where mine is. But I think on the Freeview as well, it's far out because sometimes, you know, the way you see it come up. And I think it might be up in the 200s or something like that on the Freeview. Yeah. So it's just, I was pointing people in that direction. There's a lot of good stuff in it. If you like to watch even some, they have a load of new detective stuff on it. They have even have like Silent Witness and a few different programs like that that came off the BBC. But they also have some new stuff. So Darby and Joan is one of them, which is obviously based on kind of that old song back in the day. And Gretta Sacchi shows up in it. And I was like, Jeannie, there's a name you haven't heard in an age. And it's basically what it's about is Gretta Sacchi's husband goes to Australia and she thinks he's gone to Spain or somewhere like that. And suddenly he dies in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden she's like trying to figure out what happened here. And she heads over and she meets up with an ex-police officer. And then they're suddenly driving around Australia, solving crimes, as you do. But it's one of those kind of like light, different kind of shows that you'd like sit down for an hour of an evening with a cup of tea and kind of watch it. It's interesting. There's a lot of interesting characters and things like that that come into it all the way through. Whitstable Pearl then is set in, my cousin lives in Whitstable, so I've been there, so I actually recognise some of the things which had me watching that. It too is, again, same kind of thing, like a light detective kind of a show with a, group of characters living in the town of Whitstable.
In Darby and Joan, there's a fantastic cast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All of these have
outside
really
even
good...
Outside even of the leads, like... Yeah,
yeah, there's loads of good... These are the kind of shows that you see show up on this. You will have seen them in lots of different stuff over the years. And they, you'll recognise an awful lot of faces from different things. That's the only bad thing about it, because sometimes if you're like me and you can't remember anything anymore, you start looking at it and going, where did I see that guy? And then I suddenly have to go do a big deep dive to figure out before I drive myself cracked.
What you can do if you watch it, and I'm going to watch in the trailer, is feel incredibly old incredibly quick.
Yeah.
Because... when I was very much younger, these people looked very much younger, and now they look very much older, which obviously means
you've clearly moved. Oh, I know, because I mean, she still looks great, but she definitely looks her age.
She looks fantastic.
She looks fantastic, but not what
I remembered, because the last time I came across her.
No, well, she got so famous so fast, kind of back in the day, and I think it didn't turn out well for her, and then she kind of left. She didn't like the whole scene.
So no, this is quite a nice return.
She stepped
return,
away
then.
For it. So this is just a real soft, gentle return. I really have to say there's lots of different stuff that come up in it. It's definitely a channel that people should check out either on their Skybox or even if you have the Now or any of the...
And just
any,
in relation to
Now
that,
like that.
Is I don't know really how Sky and these channels work. Is there a catch-up drama
absolutely.
As well, really, isn't
yeah,
there?
No,
okay,
no,
cool.
There's a catch-up for drama. It's part of the extra channels kind of thing, which
there
is on the Skybox. So it will be on your Now or will be on your
free
thing, anything like that. And just people should look into it and see, because if you're looking for kind of some nice,
I think
gentle,
you said it really well at the beginning. People say, oh, there's nothing on the telly. But go up into the 200s.
Exactly.
And you'll stumble
across
a few diamonds.
Yeah, you do come across stuff that's older but still holds and is worth watching.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Yesterday I lost my purse and a kind lady left it into the Garda station but didn't leave her name. Thank you so much to the kind lady who returned it. There are still good people, and the good people outweigh those who aren't good by a massive ratio. Let's never forget that either. Sometimes we get caught up in thinking that everyone is, the whole world's gone to pot, but the majority of people, and we know when we need our community, we need people around us, we know how good the vast majority of people are. Donegal 212, Armagh 13 points, believes Maria. I think I read that one. Mary in Stranoller, Donegal 311, Armagh 27. I like the way you're thinking. Rachel from Leitrim, Armagh 2 goals and 12 points, Donegal 11 points. We're going to have to shut the border there at Bundoran, I think, Rachel, to keep you in Leitrim. No, I'm only joking, of course. Paul believes it'll finish 5-7 to 17 points. A magnificent match where Gallen, McBurty and Patton star in a brilliant victory for Donegal. I must put a euro on this odds. The odds will be class. Paul in the Twin Towns. Yes, Paul, I think some might say 5-7 to 17 points. We need really their goalkeeper to be playing deep in the forward line for their team. I genuinely think this is going to be my prediction. I won't give a score. I actually think Donegal are going to run away with that on Sunday. I genuinely think they're going to lead significantly after the first half and kick on from that. I don't anticipate it being a close game, but I know nothing. Sunday score, Donegal 114, Armagh 15 points, say Seamus. And Michael in our draw. Hiya, Michael. I think the Cup of Tea Festival is coming up in our draw shortly or just gone through. Donegal 15 points, Armagh 11. That comes in from Michal, actually. I think it is Michal. Let us see here. We'll watch the game here in Philadelphia. Donegal 2-6, Armagh 22 points.
Ooh.
It must be 3 o'clock in the morning in Philadelphia, and must be partaking of a beverage of some sort or other. I'm only joking, listener. Thanks so much for texting in all the way from America. Donegal's doing very well at the moment, and Jimmy is back. Just wait for Sunday and see how they go. I want them to win. That comes in from Eileen Egan. Going to Mayville. We're just coming down from Roscommon. Come on, Donegal. Okay, Anne believes Armagh 13 points, Donegal 18 points. All right, okay, keep them coming. Just to remind you that the build-up continues tomorrow. We're broadcasting live from Chrysler. Paul McDevitt has his show there. Brendan Devaney then has a preview of the weekend's action and the sports coming from Chrysler as well. And then, of course, Oisin, Martin, Brendan, all the crew will be in Clonus at the expense of Fionnuala. Thanks, Fionnuala, for live for live build-up.
Just ruined the game for me.
Actually, at this point, is coming out of her own pocket. Or at least she would have you think that. Wait till you get the bill for the elections, dear.
I know. I don't want to influence anybody, but if half a dozen could drop out, then we'd be very helpful.
Listen, come here, Katie. Thank you so much for being with us again. Very enjoyable. Loved your company, as we always do. And Fionnuala Rabbit, great to have you back as well. Thanks so very
Thank
much.
You.
Enjoy the weather today and tomorrow. Enjoy the match on Sunday. And we'll be back with you on Monday morning. Thank you so much for supporting the show and getting involved in it. It's greatly appreciated.